Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. We've had a little bit of a rough start today, haven't
we? Yes, it's the fourth time we started this. First, you asked me about a meeting I have after this.
I realized it was confidential.
I'm not sure if it is. And then that I told you, just for people to know that I need to check if it's okay to speak about this. Then we tried to speak about the Spring Assembly.
No. Then we started with awkward silence because we forgot what we were going to talk about.
And then we...
then the Spring Assembly.
We realized that we had not discussed or said anything about the Spring Assembly. How was it for you? It's been a few weeks, but...
I thought the speaker was very good. He talked about priestly health and wellness. You know, this fraternity among the priests and prayer and just some time for relaxation as well. So I always enjoy it.
A good speaker from Boston, Father James
Flavin.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good topic.
Yeah.
We also saw a picture of yours. So Father Philip was celebrating the year that we celebrate pre-jubilee of ordination.
Yeah.
They give us a stole, and then there is a PowerPoint presentation in the evening, and I questioned the picture they used for you. I remember at the dinner that I came to question about why were they using your first communion picture.
Yeah, so August 1st is my actual anniversary, It was celebrated a little bit early here. It's 10 years this year, but they found a picture somewhere from right when I was ordained. There's no beard. I had more hair. I was thinner. It was 10 years
Daniel Pakenheim, rest in peace, used to say that only 2/3 of him were ordained. And you know what he meant.
Exactly. That's good.
We have a great gospel today. We are back in ordinary time, as you know, and we are reading the gospel from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private.
A few things to say. We know that Matthew is the gospel that expands on this topic of parables of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And Mark has only these two compared to them, I think, nine that we find in Matthew. It's for me always an interesting reality that Jesus uses parables to speak about the kingdom, because the kingdom is a very complex reality, not something that can be explained easily. He needs many parables, as it says in the gospel today, to explain it. And then that the parables, we know as preachers that when you tell a story, which is a parable, that people tend to remember things more than when we are lecturing people, I believe.
Right. The struggle, though, with any example, any metaphor, any parable, is sometimes you can oversimplify things. And I'm not suggesting Jesus does that, but then you only remember that image. And then you've got questions, as questions arise here about, so what does this really mean? And that whole debate over what the disciples are really told by Jesus, what others are told, and why that is, that kind of prevails through the Gospels. I think here in Mark, it's that last line. There's a little bit of mystery to that.
There is a technique with parables, I believe. You have to see, and you can apply it to other parts of the gospel also, see who Jesus is speaking to. Because sometimes he's speaking to the crowds, and it says in the, that's what it says, Jesus said to the crowds. And then we need to realize that Jesus uses different levels of language, I believe, or depth when he talks to the crowds, when he talks to his disciples in the house, when he talks to the Pharisees. I think it's a different context, and we have to be attentive to this. As a priest, I believe you can see clearly two parables here. The first one, there is this use of the sickle that then is judgment, right? A word that I didn't know. I had to check in the dictionary what it meant. But the first part, I like that we saw, and we don't even know how it grows. It's good for us when we think that we can control everything, that we can make Paris grow, that we can make reality succeed, just to realize that we plant and God grows. Yeah, I think it's a very humbling experience.
It is. That first parable, the seeds scattered on the land, it's unique to Mark's gospel, so you won't find that in the other synoptics.
So you did prepare a little bit.
A little bit. I also noticed that, too. There's a sense of mystery about that and the way that it's described, of its own accord. So without any human intervention, the seed grows, but very slowly. Notice how Jesus uses the image. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, and it just keeps going, sort of mysteriously and slowly on its own. A beautiful image for the kingdom of God to say it's growing here, but you know, at really full maturation, though, is the final judgment.
And this idea of organic growth that you just described, I'm not sure about judgment. I think scholars would tell us that many of the inclusions of judgment are not first redaction, but of the Gospels, but because we have this tendency to bring things to judgment, but that's maybe one place where you and I disagree a little bit.
Well, I think you might have a point there. It's also just a difficult topic to talk about. And remember, in a scriptural context and a cultural context here, when is that judgment happening?
Yeah.
Again, not everyone knows, but you know, in St. Paul's time, people were thinking, oh my gosh, it's already too late. And that was just shortly after Jesus had ascended into heaven.
Yeah.
And here we are 2,000 years later. So it's always a question about that.
I think it's important also when we speak about the kingdom of God is for Jesus. I believe that he's speaking about the kingship of God more than the kingdom. I think it's more correct translation of the word, Greek word that is being used. I think he was speaking about how would the world would look like if the criteria of the principles of God would prevail. We tend to think about judgment and about the afterlife. And I think Jesus is describing the kingdom trying to be kingdom come, what we say in the Lord's Prayer, trying to make the kingdom happen on earth. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And what does the kingdom of God look like? I think that's an excellent question always to think about, but always careful not to be looking just externally. This is where sometimes, and I do the same thing, we kind of look at the world and look at others rather than myself, because I'm part of this kingdom and it's going to look like the people who are part of this kingdom. So how exactly do I live? Not kind of a vague crowd out there. What does the kingdom of God look like?
It's interesting because I got an unsolicited meme today. They call it religious one that says
meme.
It's more meme.
I don't know how to say it properly.
I don't know. But it's more fruitful to examine your own conscience than the conscience of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little bit what you were trying to say. So then we move to the second parable.
Yeah, the mustard seed.
It's a famous one.
I know, a beautiful image.
Two things there. The mustard seed, but then it says it describes the kingdom of God, the kingship of God, like a tree where birds dwell. And I always like this idea because then it inspires me to say parishes and faith communities should be places of refuge also, places where anybody can dwell. I think it's a beautiful one, in addition to the famous idea that, have you seen a mustard seed? It's very small, it's true.
Right.
Yeah, and then this invitation to find the seeds of the kingdom, which may be small when we try. I don't know why I have a mint in my
You're
mind.
You're holding a mint
hand
as you're talking.
It's distracting. I know. But you know what I mean, finding the mustard seeds of the kingdom. As pastors, we look at realities and we sometimes get smitten by great realities, like I'm into technology, and sometimes we need to be reminded that little things are actually the real seeds of the kingdom.
Well, right, not just for us as priests, but for all of us, those little things that we do, and especially, I think this is true for parents, but also those who are responsible for, whether it be children, or for those who are new to the faith in some way, or just the example that we provide outside, that little mustard seed that we need to drop somewhere that we might never ever see. That's the thing about, you know, a mustard plant or a little seed, you might not ever see its growth, but you're still responsible for doing that.
That's a great
very
point.
Hard in a world today where we want a very quick responsiveness to things. And have you ever given out mustard seeds during a homily this weekend?
I have not, but I may.
Okay, all right.
It's a good idea. So one thing you don't know about me is that I studied agriculture.
Okay,
I did. One of the things I remember in one class, the mustard seed has a potential to, I think it's 1,000 years, which, you know what I mean? If preserved correctly in dry places and everything, a mustard seed can sprout even 1,000 years later, which is a beautiful image in itself, one that could be used also.
Yeah, I didn't know it was quite
yeah,
that long.
Yeah.
So I think about something you said and just the reality of mustard seeds. So a number of weeks ago, the oldest priest in our archdiocese died, Father John Hentzner, at 97 years old. And he was a priest son of St. Bernard Parish, one of the parishes I'm pastor at. I had to get the funeral file, but his family had his funeral file as well. So his notes that he had provided for his funerals were supposed to do as priest. And it was really fascinating going through. It was just full of scraps of pieces of paper, of his notes, of his thoughts about songs, about readings that he wanted. He had songs cut out from other orders of worship. And it was really touching. I sat down a few nights before the funeral and just sort of pondered over that. But I thought about, after 97 years, all the little mustard seeds that he's left in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thinking about that as I was looking at his funeral file. I was really honored. I'm trying actually to hold on to that file. I think I have to give it back to the diocese.
But how beautiful to have this relationship with your own death, right? To to have a file where I may start doing this. I would like you to preach at my funeral. Can I put that in my funeral file?
Yeah, I'd like for you to do mine as well.
I just need someone who would not totally embarrass me at my funeral. That's all I asked. All I asked from the Lord is that, because I'm so easy to mock. I know I put myself in these situations. And I've always thought that I would like someone not to completely embarrass me. I know it will be difficult.
Sure.
And then I want someone to tell the truth that I was a difficult person. I don't want to happen what normally happens at funerals, that we canonize the person. I want someone to say, this was a man that tried, but he was really difficult.
And I want the same. I really want the same thing at my funeral. So pray for him. Yeah. He needs it.
Yeah, prayers more. So I think it's been an interesting session today.
Yeah, this has
took
been
us
good.
A while to start, but then I think it's been one of our best.
This Sunday is Father's Day, so
yeah.
Happy Father's Day to Richard.
To Richard Ricardo.
Ricardo.
I was Richard. My father was Ricardo, if you remember the story.
That's right. That's
and we
right.
don't use junior or senior in Spain, so I explained this before. My mom would call from the kitchen, Ricardo, and then we both would try to convince ourselves that she meant the other one.
All right, so we'll get together next week. Would that be okay?
Yes.
All right, have a good day.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.